T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting beat up and having your existence be completely tainted by people saying that you aren't X, Y, or Z. And then on top of that, from my vantage point, I felt like he was put behind the eight ball in a way with his strengths he couldn't play to. If you're not able to play to your strengths and your position that you've, one of the reasons you've gotten there is you're an unbelievable point guard. I felt, how could he with all the things going on and all the it's a lot of loud noise that you try to ignore, but people are human.
There's Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. He and the Dolphins begin their crucial three-game stretch in their schedule. They have three straight road games at Niners, at Chargers, and then here before they close out. Ooh, I think it was Patriots, Jets, but don't quote me. So they are in their critical stretch, just like the Bills are. Thanks for hanging out with us. 803-0550. You're going to get the calls in just a moment. First, you got a stat.
I got a stat. I put a stat together. I kind of looked into something. I don't know if it's a real stat. You know, there are a million stats out there. It's comparing Allen to Mahomes.
Okay.
This is a bit of a, to those of you that say, the offense is fine. What are you worried about? They scored 28 against the Lions. They scored 30 against Cleveland.
Yeah.
And rushing touchdowns are not factored in here. They probably should be. Mahomes has five. I'm sorry. Allen has five. How many does Mahomes have? Rushing touchdowns. That might help me like eliminate that rushing touchdowns matter in this conversation. Anyway. So I was looking at touchdowns per game and decided to look at rolling four-game total of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Four-game stretches. How many touchdown passes did Mahomes have? How many touchdown passes did Allen have this year? This is my number one thing right now for don't tell me it's okay right now. If you take the four-game total starting in week 1, 2, 3, 4.
Those are good numbers in the first 4 weeks.
Allen had 10.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 11. Weeks 2, 3, 4, 5. Allen had 11. Mahomes had 10. 3, 4, 5, 6, right? So you understand how I'm doing four-game totals.
Yep.
Here are Mahomes' numbers, four-game totals from week 1 through 4 to the last 4 weeks. 11, 10, 10, 12, 10, 10, 11, 9.
Right, so very consistent.
Allen, 10, 11, 10, 10, 9, 6, 4, 4.
Ooh. Mahomes has one rushing touchdown.
Okay, Allen has five rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
But from a passing standpoint,
right?
10, four-game stretches, 10 touchdowns in four games, 11 touchdowns in four games, 10, 10, 9, 6, and then the last two four-game stretches, granted they overlap a couple games in here, that's how it's going to work with the rolling average.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, it's funny. I should dig this out. I was looking up a stat, like four touchdown or more games for the Bills. Not just Allen, just the offense scoring four touchdowns or more. Now, they did it in week one against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in week two against the Titans. They've done it one time in the last nine games, and that was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's not thrown four touchdowns since Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the offense scoring four or more touchdowns in a game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, I think they had five touchdowns in that game. That's the one four or more touchdown game going back to week three against the Dolphins. So that's one. And again, you're going to sit there, 28 points here, 33. I'm just telling you, you know, this offense last year was very good. More than half their games, I think, they put up four or more touchdowns. They've done it once in the last nine games.
And if I may, can I bring back, drag it out of the locker, the 300-yard passing point?
Oh, boy, I haven't talked about that.
Allen has one 300-yard passing game since the Chiefs game, and that was Minnesota, and he probably got it in overtime.
Like, yeah, they would have gotten 33 yards on that drive.
330 in overtime. 330 total. 253, 197, 205, 218.
He wouldn't have if they don't fumble that snap on the QB sneak. He doesn't get there.
Right.
And then he gets some on that final drive.
And they win the game, of course.
They would have won the game, right?
But just from a how is the passing offense doing, there's no way that it's not below its own standard. So
8 games. Sorry, Bills had 4 or more touchdowns in 8 of their 17 regular season games last season. They've done it 3 times this season. 2 of those were in the first 2 weeks. So, yeah, look.
Time to pick it up.
At the end of the day, you can look at a points per game number, and it might be there. Well, I mean, one game they had 6 field goals from Tyler Bass. That doesn't mean that, you know, the Bills are functioning at a level offensively that we've seen from them. So I understand why you're in the space you're at or in the place you're at. I'm not where you are, but to come out and say, guys, they're fine, look at what their points per game average. I don't even know, where do they rank in the league this week? They must still be in the top 2 or 3, I would assume, points per game.
But this
doesn't look right.
Right, but this is the thing I care about. Some people care about run defense the most. Some care about, are they effectively running the football? Are they balanced? The thing I care about the most is, what's the passing offense look like?
See, here, that's funny, right? The running numbers, the running offense numbers are much better in the last 5 games. Again, I don't have it in front of me, but they've rushed for like 125 yards or more each of the last 4 or 5 games, right? They didn't do that. Anyway, the point is, last 5 versus first 6, rushing numbers are up, markedly up. Does anybody feel better about the offense, though? I mean, again, I'm not a big balance out the offense guy. I'm a when you need to run the ball, run the ball. But they're rushing for like 150, 160, a lot of numbers. But it doesn't mean the offense is functioning at a higher level.
Here's another number for you. Over 8 yards per attempt passing.
Ooh, his numbers aren't good yards
per attempt. Allen was over 8 yards per attempt passing in 5 of the first 7 games.
Yeah.
And hasn't done it since. You know, like,
yep.
You want to know what'll make me feel better? Passing. It's the only thing that makes me feel about any team being any good. Oh, the Titans run it so well. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, be wary of the Colts. That's a team you want to face in the playoffs. I don't care. Can you throw it all over the field? Mm-hmm. And the last 4 or 5 games, the answer for that for the Bills is not really.
You know, if you look at, by the way, sorry to throw a lot of numbers at you, but here's the stat. The Bills, since the bye, the Bills are averaging 159 yards rushing a game. Prior to the bye, 117. It's a big jump. But since the bye, what's happened? We're wondering what's going on with the offense.
I mean,
so the rushing yards are way up, and we're sitting there going, oh, guys, the offense doesn't look right to me.
The returns in the passing game are bigger than returns in the running game.
Right. And,
it's just
and
reality.
The passing game is turning the ball over at critical
times.
That's
true. That's right. That's right.
But you know, look at New England, for example, right? New England, Mac Jones was not playing well. New England, they're saying Mac Jones just had his best game of the season, right? 380 yards passing, I think, against Minnesota and a couple touchdowns. It's not, New England doesn't gauge how their team looks based on how well Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson is running the ball. They gauge their offense on how well is Mac Jones playing. Well, Mac Jones put the ball in the air and was really good against the Vikings in defeat. So, yeah, I just think, you know, you can look at points per game and you can look at rushing yards per game, and those numbers are fine. But we all know the Bills' passing offense isn't at a level where it needs to be to ultimately go where they need to go, and that is get to the Super Bowl and hopefully win a Super Bowl. Can you grab the lines? Get us going there. I think you got the mouse, right? Yeah, there we go.
Bob in Buffalo.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
My point, I don't dispute some of what you're saying about this comparison with Mahomes, but we're playing with a quarterback who's a beast and is playing with a bad elbow. And there's no question that it has affected his throwing on occasion. There, you listen to the quarterbacks that are on the TV, like Romo, et cetera, and they're saying every time that if he doesn't get his legs underneath them, he used to be able to fling the ball, and now it's affecting his throwing.
And as true as that,
he shouldn't even be playing. He should have been resting, but we can't afford to not have him. And he is such a tough kid that he's playing through a bad injury. You know, bad right elbow is certainly going to affect your statistics.
The only problem
As true as that may be, it's not true about the second half against the Packers. It's not true for most of the game against the Jets.
That's right.
And his first game after the Jets, the Vikings, was the best of the bunch.
Well, when did he get hurt?
He got hurt on the last drive. He got hurt on the last drive against the Jets.
Yeah.
So he basically went six quarters, almost six full quarters of, oh God, what's wrong with Josh, before he got hurt.
And the Jets was 200.
All right,
and the Jets was 205 yards passing, 53% completion percentage, and two picks. And
I put it this way.
Yeah.
I would rather have him with a bad elbow than anybody else on our squad. And we've got to stop comparing him with Mahomes.
Why?
When he's got a bad album.
I'm not comparing him when he's got a bad album. We're gonna compare him all the time for the rest of their lives. They're the two of the best quarterbacks in the league. We're not going to stop that.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I understand that the elbow is a fact. No one's, giving up on him. All we're talking about is we want the passing offense to get back to where it was. And if, Bob, I know what you're saying. If you're saying that will come when the elbow gets healthy, great. I hope that's this week. I don't think anybody's given up on it. I got a couple concerns. One, that they don't have enough receivers. Yeah. Two, that their offensive coordinator might not be good enough. He might be. We're still finding out about that. And three, the elbow.
That's, Bob, I was just going to say, the other 2 points, it's not even just a Josh Allen, singular Josh Allen discussion. It is outside of Diggs. Nobody's playing consistently at the top of their game as another weapon in the passing game. And we are wondering about the creativity and the play calling and what's happening in the red zone and why don't you seem to have the success the previous guy had in the red zone. And that stuff isn't just related to Josh Allen's elbow.
I agree.
Yeah, so I appreciate the call. It isn't just a black and white, his elbow will be fine when his elbow is fine, when he's 100%. Every problem is solved because it started to happen before the elbow injury. And the drop-off in the offense since the first month and a half, maybe it's gradual, but there has been an issue there. And again, we've said it all year, right? Diggs every week, lock him in. Davis, sometimes. Knox, couple times. McKenzie, one time. It's like it's passing game by committee after Diggs. There is no set answer of a good, legit, consistent threat after Stephon Diggs. Each week you don't know. You hope, but you don't know who else is going to come up big in the passing game.
Quick tweet. It's almost like they're rushing more because of the elbow injury. Is that really true? He passed 42 times against the Lions. He passed 43 against Minnesota. And the criticism against Minnesota was that Dorsey didn't call enough runs.
Yeah. Yeah, he hit that drive where he went.
The first game after the injury,
right.
The biggest criticism is, why are you throwing so much?
Yeah. The drive where he went pass heavy. The first of the two turnovers late against Minnesota was a drive where they just stopped running and ran and just went.
And he threw it in the end zone on a fourth down was intercepted. The elbow injury gets talked about the more the passing game looks like it's not right. And in the first half against Minnesota, looked fine.
Now, having said that,
it could be an injury.
For sure, against Detroit, there were some throws he missed that we thought, oh, he hits those.
Yes, I totally agree. I think it's probably a factor.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that. Was it fix itself? It's got to fix itself.
I would hope it's going to fix itself as he gets healthy. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll go to Herman and Kenmore. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Howard. And what's the other guy's name? I forgot. My name is Herman.
My name is Jeremy.
He's been on the show for 18 years now.
I know that. Okay.
His name's on the show, actually.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Okay, here. Let's face that. We still hate New England with a passion because they beat us up so bad all them years. But we are a better football team than they are. Now we have Tom Brady. They don't have him anymore, okay? Josh is okay. And I'll say this, too. My son played quarterback in college. That's another story. But he had a meniscus problem, okay? And he was out 7 to 10 days. So I have a very good feeling about Von Miller coming back, and we're going to win 4 straight, but the Super Bowl will be like we played when we played last Thursday. It'll have you on the edge of the seat the rest of the way in that game. I have a lot of confidence in our football team, and as long as our coaching staff comes true in this game and has a good game plan, we'll beat them bastards in New England. Have a good day.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Herman. Yeah, if anybody's listening and thinking like we're getting on Josh, I don't. That's not the intended point here. I'm only saying I won't feel better about this team until the passing game returns to the form it needs to be in. That's it. Every analyst on ESPN, Dan, or every, it's always going to be about how well they have. They got to run the ball. They're going to have to run the ball better. I will only care when they start to pass the ball better, back where they have been
right.
for 2 years.
Right.
And it's not to say they're not good. I want Ken Dorsey to find the answers. I want James Cook involved, Nyheim Hines, Khalil Shakir. Hey, welcome back to the team, John Brown. Anything it takes. The only thing that makes me feel really, really good about them, and this includes how good the defense has been, I only truly believe when you can pass the ball the way that they have been able to.
Somebody tweeted in, Jets defense got Josh not trusting himself. Now he's second-guessing with a hurt elbow. Yeah, the elbow's a factor, but also, again, where his head is at and where is the offense and how do they look? Look, the Detroit game, as much as we're talking about the elbow, the Detroit game, you're watching that, and I know you had to be thinking, he doesn't trust his offensive line either. Pass protection at times has been a problem, right? The Jets defensive front dominated the Bills' offensive line. The Detroit Lions, at times, were eating the Bills' tackles for lunch, especially when Deion Dawkins left the game. Spencer Brown had a bad day. You know, the interior of the line, there were a number of issues the other day. And Josh is leaving the pocket quickly. So it's not, again, it isn't just his elbow will be fine and they'll be fine. There are other little things going on, including, at times, the pass protection. And I don't think the quarterback, there are times the quarterback looks very uncomfortable in the pocket or leaves the pocket quickly because his line isn't holding up. That's, I said earlier, for me, I feel the Bills will win Thursday, but I got to be honest with you. I'm having nightmares of what might happen with Matthew Judon and their pass rush. You know, hopefully Morse plays. I don't think Dawkins will. He hasn't practiced yet this week. I'm really worried about whether Josh is going to have time on Thursday night. How often? What can that? I don't want this turning into the Jets game, where the defensive pass rush dominates the Bills' offensive line and the quarterback can't make plays. That can happen against New England on Thursday night. Let's see. Anywhere? Okay. Let's go here. Paul in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys. You know I'm going to switch topic. Sure. How many games are we going to watch these young players who are doing the best they can, getting there and done, to see them have wins ripped away by dumpster fire goaltending? I have been calling and complaining about goaltending for 2 years. We have had now $40 million in unspent cap money for 2 years. We have had not just the number one prospect pool, the super number one prospect pool for 2 years, and we cannot find representative NHL goaltending. That is just outrageous. I mean, what are we going to do on Ryan Miller night? Let in 7 or 8 in honor of Milty? I mean,
I think it would be a late soft goal to screw up a shutout, wouldn't it? No.
Yeah, maybe it'll be, is it against Sidney Crosby? Can he get a golden goal for us?
Here's the only way I think this changes, Paul. Jeremy, you tell me. The only way this changes to me is if they look at it and go, we want Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen playing every day in Rochester. He can't right now because Comrie's out. You're not going to play Anderson a heavy workload. So to your question, when would they do something? That's the only thing I would see. They go, all right, we got to send him back, which means they have to go find a goalie somewhere in the league, somebody's backup to get.
There's a piece up, I think it's Pierre LeBrun, looking back at the goaltender moves that were made in the offseason and how many of them are working and how many are not. One of the very strange ones that's working is Martin Jones. It's working.
He's got to drop off.
What the Sabres need is to either get somebody who's good or to finally get lucky on one of these guys.
Yeah, right.
Because Seattle's gotten lucky on Martin Jones. But Georgiev in Colorado has been great.
Vanacek has been fantastic.
Ville Husso, right?
Yeah.
This is the whole thing about free agency. Like, we don't want to spend money in free agency. You don't want to get silly season. Well, $5 million on a goalie in silly season might have been worth it. Keeping Linus Allmark, he's having a good year, right? Allmark's having a decent year?
Yeah, he's doing all right, yeah.
Like,
you don't think the Sabres are making a move for a goalie in season, though, do you?
They certainly should consider it.
I'm just saying that's different than him actually trading for somebody.
I don't know who would be available, but if you look at goals saved above average in the NHL right now,
Sabres are still near the
Allmark, who was a Sabre, is fifth in the NHL. Fifth. Mm. The best Sabres goalie is Craig Anderson at 26.
And you can't play him every time.
So. Nope. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is 47th.
And Comrie is probably lower.
And Comrie is in the 60s.
Yeah.
61 goals saved above expected. It's another year. That
yeah.
They're going to be a little bit artificially low. You know, Howard, what I like to do with the Sabres, I go to Natural Stat Trick. I look at their fancy stats. All right, high danger, Corsi, Fenwick. Scoring chance, expected goals, every single thing.
Yeah.
You know where they are in all those things? About the middle. They're not terrible.
Right.
Their goalies are.
Yeah, I mean, like look at last night. And I know it's three power play goals, but still, right? This is where teams will tell us the goalie's got to make some key saves against the penalty kill.
Their second biggest problem might be the penalty kill. It is a disaster.
It's been mostly horrendous.
It is a disaster. Yeah.
But also your goalie needs to bail you out. I mean, also, look, I get it. It's Steven Stamkos, elite level player. No screen. I mean, he's in open space, and he made a beautiful shot, but somewhere last night, just a couple key saves somewhere. Again, can the goalie bail out the penalty killers? Sometimes it's really tough, you know? Points goal. Let's see, would that have been the tying goal? I forget which points goal. It was a one-timer in the middle in the slot. It's really tough to stop. But just one or two key saves, that was a problem for the Sabres last year, and it seems to be an issue. But again, Paul, thank you for the call. Again, I do not... Unless Kevin Adams is working the phones trying to trade for someone's backup goalie, I don't think they're going to make a move unless they don't want UPL playing here.
And the frustrating part is that you've had two goaltenders that have immediately gone on to success elsewhere. Robin Leonard's first season away from the Sabres, he was a Vezina finalist. And right now, Linus Ullmark is the Vezina favorite. He's the betting favorite to win the Vezina. So you had two guys that theoretically should have been able to give you what you want, and it just you couldn't get it to happen while they were here.
And you didn't want to. I mean, they offered Ullmark term and money. And he decided to go to Boston. It's one of the things that they have earned through their mismanagement, not of this general manager, previous general manager's mismanagement. They earned this hole they have to dig themselves out of. They are 29th in the NHL on the penalty kill.
And they were 6th on the power play, so that portion of the special teams is okay, but the penalty kill's been horrendous. All right, we'll get a break in, 803-0550 to join us. Hey, quick reminder, hopefully you've gotten involved in our cool contest. Actually, it's more about heating, not cooling. The TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills Contest. You'll find a link at WGR550.com. If you enter for a chance, you could win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, we'll have one lucky winner randomly selected from all the entries we get. TRS Heating and Air Conditioning, they treat you as if you were their only customer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.